the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, there's something that our texts do for today that I want to consider because I think it is vitally important for repentance and faith and holy living throughout this life. And that something is this. Today, dear saints, our Lord's words, our Lord's mouth opens and he speaks this truth. And what it does is it reorders our fears. Take, for example, Exodus 34:30. This is our Old Testament. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Because he was speaking with the Lord, and he comes down with a bit of glory upon him. And they were afraid. Or then Matthew 17, when the disciples heard this, when the disciples heard the voice from heaven from the Father, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. And finally, our introit, your lightnings lighted up the world and the earth trembled and shook. And what you may ask causes the earth to fear? What causes the earth to tremble? And the answer lies within Psalm 77, and it is this. When they saw you, O God, they were afraid. Our texts reorder our fears. Consider what it is in your life that you fear. Perhaps you fear being alone. Perhaps you fear not having enough money, enough security, enough friends. Perhaps you fear things that happen within your body, like the return or the increase of cancer, or the return or the increase of an emotional disability that causes you anxiety or deep sadness. Consider what you fear. And where on that list do our Lord's words and his commandments and his judges appear? Where on that list is the righteous judgment of sin? Have we lost our ability to truly fear what we should fear? Do we know how to fear? Do we know how to fear God above all things, above heavens and earth? In my devotional reading, most recently I've been reading the book of Job. And his confession is amazing. His confession is a wonderful example of what it is that we should fear. For he has his family taken away. And he has his servants taken away. He has all of his livelihood taken away. And his confession is, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I go to my death. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Oh, really? That is only a confession that you can make by God. That is only a confession that you can make because the Spirit has given you that confession. And you know, Job is an example of this, and we give thanks for his faith, and that is exactly what we do. We give thanks for his faith. Because Job then, the rest of that book is also an example of how Job doesn't fear what is right as well. He fears right there. He fears the Lord above all things, right there within that confession. But then throughout the rest of that book, you see that Job is not fearing right. And what's amazing, he doesn't fear death. He doesn't fear his sin. He doesn't fear the devil. What he fears the most is living. Living in the suffering that the Lord has given to him. That is amazing. Have we lost our ability to fear that which we should? And the answer to that, dear saints, is yes, we have. By nature, we are all born without the true fear of God. And so what our Lord's words do for us, and what they did for Job, what they do for us today, is they convert our fears. Our Lord takes this huge pile of fears that we have in this life, that we have in this body, and he funnels it all in, and he tells us to repent and to fear him above all things, to fear the loss of him above all things, to fear the absence of him above all things in this life. The only thing that we should fear is not fear itself, but it is our Lord. See, we don't naturally think of this. This isn't something we have by nature until our Lord's words condemn us and they funnel us and they bring us to repentance. I suppose it's like this. You don't really pay attention too much to how fast you're going on the road until you see a cop. You see one, or you see somebody get pulled over, you see one clocking the speeds of everyone, and you look down and you say, oh, I should probably slow down now. And so that's what our Lord's words do for us. We don't naturally think of these things. We don't naturally think, am I fearing everything more than I'm fearing God? And our Lord's words, they bring us back and they make us look at the speedometer and they say, oh, that isn't me. I'm not fearing God the way I should. So they convert our fears to him. They lead us to fear what our sins really deserve, what we actually deserve to receive in this life. And then once he has done this, once he has converted all of our fears, then he can move on to ask the second question, and that is this: what do you do with that fear? Do you fear God above all things? Our Lord converts us and he makes us say, yes, I do. Now, what do you do with it? Because once you're aware of what you should fear, our natural tendency is to do the wrong thing. What did Adam and Eve do? When they sinned, they hid themselves. When they sinned, they covered themselves. They thought that was okay until the Lord was coming. And then they realized, this is pitiful. This is not going to hide my sin. So they themselves hide. And that is our natural tendency, is once we have feared God correctly, once we know what our sins deserve, once we know that the righteous judgments of God are quite terrifying for us, then we want to hide from him. And that is wrong. And so what our Lord Jesus does is he does this. Verse 6 from Matthew 17, our text says this: when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. And then Jesus, immediately, he comes and he touches them and he says, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. So when you fear God rightly, your God comes along and he tells you, there's nothing to be afraid of. Huh. Isn't that amazing? When you fear God correctly, your Jesus says, I'm nothing to be afraid of. When you fear your sins and the righteous judgments of God correctly, your Jesus comes and he says, I have died for your sins and I forgive you. The one for whom you should fear is bound and determined to go to the cross for you. The one for whom you should fear is the one who is bound and determined to die for you, to destroy your death. The one for whom you should fear is the one who destroys Satan and stomps on his head and tells him to stop accusing you. The one for whom you should fear looks at you and says, stop being afraid. Who shall you fear? And the Father says about all of this, listen to him. And your Jesus, he piles all those fears that you have. He tells you to repent. He tells you you should not fear, and he is present here to tell you peace to you. Your Jesus says, take and eat. This is my body given for you. That's the one for whom you should fear. The one who gives himself for you. So what do we do this morning? What do we do with our wrong-headed and our sinful fears in this life? We don't hide them. We confess them. And we listen to our Jesus, who gives himself up for us so that he can give us his forgiveness. And he bids us today to take up our cross and follow him throughout everything. Follow him and listen to him, for he is the voice of our shepherd. And know this, that in this life, the cross comes first, and glory follows after. Have no fear, your Jesus says. Don't hide from him. Listen to him. He loves you. He died for you. You are forgiven. And he is present with you. How good, Lord, to be here. For your Jesus is here with you. Amen.